The reading this morning is from Jeremiah 17, from verse 5 to 8. So Jeremiah 17. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. All right, just getting organised. Well, it's the long weekend. I managed to preach on the other one, and I was boasting about what a great opportunity that was because I got an extra hour's sleep because I'm not a morning person. But it's just by chance, I happened to be on again, and I got 1 hour less sleep. So today, we've got a few people away celebrating the long weekend with their family. But what a great blessing it is to be here with our spiritual family this morning. So I want a big special thanks to the worship team who got here at 7:30, which is yesterday's 6:30. So that's amazing commitment. Now, I'm going to invite up Greg to come and paint for us because, as you can see, the passage that was read this morning is a picture. And so we wanted to do something a little bit different. And so he's going to be painting this picture of a tree planted by the water, which is what this passage is all about. So why don't we give him a great big round of applause for being willing. I'm so very grateful. It's a beautiful thing to be creative. God's created us to be creative. He is the ultimate creator and is ultimately creative. And that's part of us being made in his image, is that we can create pictures and ideas like that. So there's a famous saying, a picture says more than 1,000 words. It's the power of visual communication, right? And the Bible uses these pictures where it's painting these words, using words, but it's painting a picture for us to reflect on. It's actually got incredibly deep meaning, and sometimes we can just brush over that because we haven't taken time to think, what does this mean? What does it mean? And so that's what we're doing. We're actually doing the reverse. We're actually getting this picture and we're going to dig deep into what does that mean then for me? Because Jesus himself in John, in the book of John, he says many times, I am, and he says seven different things. I am the bread of life. That means something. And so sometimes we need to stop and to think, what does it mean? So the big question that I'm asking today, that the Bible answers in this passage, is who do you trust in and how can you tell? How can you tell? The Bible here tells us that we can tell. We can tell if our trust is in man, if we're trusting in someone or ourselves, or if we're trusting in God. And so that is the big question. So I want to ask you from the outset, just to be reflecting, do you trust God? Do you trust him? When thinking about trust, I always think about in our discipleship center, where we were a part of in Russia, in Siberia, one of the first things that our students would do when they would gather is a day of team building exercises and trust building exercises. They come together and they've come from all over Russia, all different places, sometimes even from other places like Kazakhstan, and they come to study for an intensive 7 months where they're living together, they're in Bible classes together, they are cleaning together, they are doing everything together. It's a very intense environment. And one of the things that they would do is an exercise of trust. And these people don't know each other yet. And so what they would do is everyone, bit by bit, would make a little tunnel with like their hands crossed over, and people would then fall back. And it's an exercise of trust to see if they can do it and experience and then reflect on how that felt. How did it feel to fall on people, on fall and know that they will catch you? And it was often, for some people, it was really hard. It was really difficult. But it was a great chance to sort of test this sense of trust. We trust things all the time. You've trusted this morning that as you've sat on your chair that it's got enough to hold you up. We trust when we look at something, whether we think it's trustworthy, whether we can put our confidence in that thing, or whether it is a scary thing. The definition of confidence, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And so confidence is the feeling or belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone or something. So we when we walk up to a chair, and if we feel that we can, that's got enough to hold us up, we do all these things confidently. We trust that we can do it. If we see a bridge and it looks like it's falling apart, we might not cross that very confidently. We might be afraid. We might not feel confidence. And so the question today, it's a double-edged one, basically the same thing. Do you trust God? And is your confidence in him? Do you rely on him? Do you have faith in him? The two verses that we read first, there's a contrast. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this picture, but I do want to reflect on it because we can see through the contrast what trusting in man is like. It said, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland, and you can see in that picture what that looks like. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. And so first of all, I just want to just draw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just 6 small reflections from what is that person like? What is that person who's trusting in man like? First of all, they trust only in what they can see. With their physical eyes, what they can see, they're trusting in what they can see. They turn away from God. They turn away. They're unthankful for good. It says, it doesn't even see when prosperity comes. And I don't know if you've experienced that before, but when we're in survival mode, it's like, get me that thing that I need. I need it. And survival mode is like, you don't even have time to be thankful. You just have to grab. And that is what that person is like. They are unthankful for good. They just grab at it. They grab at it. It's survival mode. It's isolated. You're isolated. You're far away from everything else. And related to that, it's competitive. In those places, you've got to compete for the water. You've got to compete for the resources. And so it's a competitive place where you're competing to grab at what you need. And the last thing, it's unfruitful. It's unfruitful. So that is the picture that God paints of a person who trusts in man. That's what life looks like. And I can relate to many of those things at different times. But what does it say for us? It says instead that the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will instead be like a tree planted by the water. We can start to see our tree taking shape. The first point I want to make about this is that when you believe in Jesus, you are replanted with all that you need to thrive. In this point, I'm already mentioning Jesus, who was not even there in the time of Jeremiah. But we have the incredible privilege and of being this side of the cross, where we can read the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus. And we know that the ultimate way that we put our trust in God is by receiving his son, Jesus, and acknowledging that he is the way and the truth and the life, and we receive him and we believe in him, and that is the ultimate way that we put our trust in God, is through Jesus. God is our creator. He made every single one of us here. He made each of us with unique qualities. He knows the potential that he's placed within us with gifts, talents, and a purpose for this earth. And so if we want to put that into this tree analogy, he knows what kind of variety we are. He knows what kind of fruit we can produce, have the potential to produce. He knows what kind of soil we might need and how much water we need. And Jesus in John 15 calls the Father the gardener. He's the gardener. And so when we come to believe in Jesus, we don't have to continue to strive like that bush in the desert. We become surrendered to God's care for us, the fact that he knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows who we are. He is the one that made us. And he plants us right next to the essential ingredient for successful plant ability to thrive, which is this water. Water. What is this water? Well, many times in Scripture, the water is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And so just one example of that, I want to read to you from John chapter 7. This is Jesus speaking at a festival and he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so very clearly, it's showing us. And he's saying, as Scripture has said, there are these references to water, which are always very clearly referenced to this idea of the Holy Spirit, of God himself, who empowers us. And so he plants us spiritually with the Holy Spirit within our access at all times, with the Holy Spirit, who is the one who is able to produce good fruit in us. The Holy Spirit allows us free access to God. The Holy Spirit helps us, teaches us, convicts us of sin, comforts us, leads us to truth, empowers us, and produces fruit in us. The Holy Spirit is the help that we need. So what do I want to say? Again, when you believe in Jesus, you are replanted with all that you need to thrive. When we put our faith in Jesus, God, our Creator, who knows who we are and what we specifically need, he plants us with free access to him through the Holy Spirit. It's a realignment of God who created you, now having full access to the empowerment of heaven to live. What a wonderful, wonderful thing, and a wonderful picture that is. Well, that sounds well and good, very picture perfect actually, doesn't it? But what if that is not my experience? What if, like me, you feel the heat, the stress of life, the pain of life? You might feel very far from empowered and flourishing. So what do we do? As far as I can understand in this picture, the one and only thing that is required of this tree is to send out its roots by the stream. So I want to just think very, you know, we're speaking metaphorically, and I want to just suggest, what does sending your roots by the stream look like? What is that? That's all nice and picture, we're talking in parables in a way. But I want to suggest that spending time with God, praying, reading the Bible, being encouraged by other believers, singing worship to God, being conscious of God throughout our day, asking for help, asking for guidance, asking for comfort, being at church, being in a life group, repenting of sin, stepping out in faith when we feel Him prompt us to do something, making changes when the Holy Spirit convicts us. These are all suggestions and not a limited experience of what sending your roots by the stream might look like. It sends out its roots by the stream. The one thing that is required of this tree, the one thing that will enable it to flourish, is to send out its roots by the stream. James chapter 4, verse 8, and there are many other verses like it. It says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He will draw near to you. It's a promise. If you send out your roots by the stream, He will meet you there. He is faithful. I love that we sung that song this morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love that passage because when I feel the heat of life, some days I just say, just got to get to bedtime and there are new mercies and a new day tomorrow. And that's sometimes how we have to live. But He is always faithful. He has answers. He has comfort. He has encouragement. He has direction. He has empowerment. He has gifts. He has provision, wisdom, forgiveness, and healing for us. And also, not an exhaustive list, again. But God is the ultimate respecter of consent. That's something that we hear about a lot in this generation that's coming up about consent. Well, God, that is an idea that comes from God. He is the ultimate respecter of consent. He will not push these things onto you just because you have believed in Him. So send out your roots by the stream. There's a list of things that, just from a gardening site, since it's a gardening analogy, there's a list of things that it says that tree roots create resilience. It says, these are just absolutely a gardening site. This is not the Bible in this little moment, but since the Bible paints a picture of a tree, what does it say that tree roots, it says tree roots create resilience. As I read this list, think about what it means from a spiritual perspective. Think about what it means. It enhances nutrient absorption for healthy leaves, which we'll come back to next as we talk about that. It improves resistance against pest, disease, extreme weather conditions, which we'll also talk about just now. That provides us with the right things. It provides strength, stability, support. It adapts to surrounding environment, seeking nutrients and water even in harsh conditions. So that is what having a good root system does for the entire tree. So we want to send out our roots to the source of water, which will see it through. And another thing, like while we're at it, there's another thing that a gardening site says. What does it say? Low moisture will cause browning of plant tissues and leaf curling eventually leading to plant death. I thought that was really funny. So, because we're about to talk about this thing, when the heat comes, its leaves are always green. Its leaves are always green. What do I want to say here? I want to say that life has seasons. And life also has unexpected weather conditions. But the point that I would like to make is this. No matter what the season or the weather, God can get you through it. God can get you through it. So I want you to reflect on what season of life you're in. What does it feel like for you? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that it's just a season and learn how to do the best we can. It's always amazing to me that in winter, when a tree drops its leaves, it can look like it is dead. And maybe some of you feel like that. Maybe you feel barren, leafless, and just hardly surviving. But the beautiful thing is that even those trees, when they just look like they're just a stump in the ground, when spring comes and the leaves just start to bud out again. We noticed this especially in Siberia when we had 6 months of snow and it would just be like as the weather warmed up, the days get longer, it's like, woohoo! And you know, it gets to 0 degrees and you're like, wow, it feels tropical! It feels tropical! And then you get to about 15 degrees and it's like then they start to just send out these leaves. They're not dead. Sometimes it's just a season. Sometimes it's just a season. And you just got to work out. In the wintertime, it's not the time of fruitfulness, but there are things that you can do in the wintertime to make sure that you flourish more. And again, I just want to say the one thing that we need to do is to send out our roots by the stream. I remember the seasons of life that were difficult. I remember how overwhelmed I felt when we moved away from Sydney and I had 3 children under 5 years old. It was a hard season. It feels like it's never going to change, never going to end, but it does. And so today, I don't know that we actually do have anyone, but I wanted to applaud those and encourage the mums and the dads who come to church with little kids. Because most of the time they don't even get to hear the sermon, but they're coming, they're sending out their roots and they're saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, we go to church. And it's hard. So when you see them, encourage them. Encourage them and say, I'm so glad to see you. How can I encourage you? Send them a meal. Send them SOS. You know, it's a hard season of life and it feels like it'll be forever and it's not. There are others here who are watching online, maybe because of health problems or the challenges of older age. And so this morning, we are sending you a big kiss and saying we thank you for being here, for listening, for choosing to send out your roots by the stream in this challenging season of grief and change. Jesus didn't promise us that we wouldn't have trouble. In fact, quite the opposite. In John 16, Jesus says this. He tells them a whole bunch of things that are going to happen. It's not going to be nice. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have overcome. I love that. It says that you may have peace. The things that he is describing are not things that are peaceful. They're not things. They are persecution, separation, all these things. But it is a fruit of the Spirit, which we're about to reflect on. You'll have peace because I've overcome. So send out your roots by the stream. So I want to say, be gracious to yourself when times are tough. Jesus tells us, if you're feeling weary and heavy laden, come to him and he'll give you rest. He can get you through. So take the time to send out your roots by the stream. He is willing and able to get you through. And our final part of this passage. I really love this verse because it feels to me that it's a very Australian verse. It says, it has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Well, Australia knows a lot about drought, and it's also got the word no worries. So what I imagine is there's a drought, but no worries, mate. There's a drought, but no worries. No one likes drought. It's when we have extreme weather conditions and there are no other sources of water. But remember, our loving Father has planted us with an ever-flowing stream. It doesn't dry up. So other things in this world might be sparse. It might be very difficult to find water elsewhere in the natural, in what we can see around us. It might be dry around us, but God has planted us and he will be faithful and he will provide you with what you need. You just need to send out your roots by the stream. 2022 was my year of drought. Well, maybe more closer to reality was what felt like in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. It talks about where there's it's always winter and never Christmas. That's what it felt like. It felt like that because in Russia, things were going so well. In a spiritual sense, I was in a summer of seeing great fruit in ministry. I felt like I'd finally found my place. It was amazing. But then in February, at the end of February, the end of winter, we suddenly had to leave. We had 50 hours to leave the country. Joshua needed surgery. We're in a war and we find ourselves back in Australia in the most expensive season of our lives, starting from scratch. We had our 7 suitcases and we're starting from scratch. One of the very worst moments that I had was a moment that we'd finally got enough money to buy a car, and it's not a very nice car, but it was a car. It was fantastic. And I was driving along, and I'd just been so busy, busy setting up all these things, busy figuring out what are we doing with our lives, busy and stressed, and I was not looking very fruitful in that moment. And Layla and Micah were off on a paper run and I had to go pick them up. I'm in the middle of dinner, I'm doing all this stuff, and I go and I'm stressed and I'm tired and I'm sad. Sad. Very, very sad. And I pick up Layla, she gets in the car, and then I'm just going up the road and I'm about to turn right onto the road and Mikey's going to be on the left-hand side of the road, and I turn the car and I'm on the wrong side of the road, driving along, and whoopsie, I hadn't yet insured the car. So you know where things are going. So I'm going along and there's a bend up ahead, and thankfully because of that bend, there's a car going fairly slowly around the corner. The bad news was that that car was a 2021 Mercedes, which I'd hit right in the middle where all those expensive sensors are. So I hit a car which was, So that was the cherry on the top of a very hard time. I had a tendency of being very independent and being able to deal with quite a lot, a high capacity. But there I was at fault, in great need, with no way of being able to solve the problem. And that for me was a really, really hard time. But looking back now, I'm very thankful for that experience because I had the chance to send my roots deeper into my absolute need of God. I couldn't try and be independent and do it on my own strength. I was able to receive healing into places that I'd never gone before. When I was in a situation that I didn't have the capacity, the strength to get out of myself. So my last point, I think it's my last point, yes, is this. God will still produce good fruit in your life. Just send out your roots by the stream. I don't know about you, but when I am doing it in my own strength, the kind of fruit that I produce is anxiety, worry, irritability, shouting at my children, and feeling stressed. That's what my life looks like when I'm doing it in my own strength. And that happens a lot. So I'm not up here. I'm preaching the message that I need to hear, that has encouraged my heart and reminded myself I'm not the one that's got it all together. I'm working this out, but I'm being encouraged to stand on this truth. But what kind of fruit do we see in our lives when we send out our roots by the stream? Now remember, that is the Holy Spirit. That water is the Holy Spirit. Well, we see the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love. You always think of that song, don't you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the fruits that you're going to see. And it's not saying that you're in a situation when you're at home and it's a beautiful day and it's loving that you'll experience love. It's when people hate you, you're going to be able to produce the fruit of love. It's in these situations that don't match the situation is when God will produce these fruits. And it's a wonderful thing. Have a look at these things. What do you want to grow in more? What do you feel that you need to grow in more? What are the fruits that you do see in your life? What do you want to grow in more? This is what happens when we seek God to be our comfort, our provision for guidance, correction, regardless of the weather or the season of life. I want to give an example because, like, there is this, it's very extreme kind of talk. And sometimes our situation physically can look the same, but we can produce different fruit. So like I said, I tend to, when I'm doing things in my own strength, produce, you know, stress, worry, anxiety, all these things, and I'm irritable and... So an example of this is recently, as we've been looking for a place to live, I have felt that the situation is a bit too hard, and I've felt that I've got to strive. I've felt isolated and competitive about getting a house in the area. And so as I've been looking at places, I've been like very like, quick, get to the open inspection and apply now and do this and now and quick, it's hard for God. We've got 5 kids and a dog and it's like, what landlord's going to want us? And it's like, I was stressed out. I have been stressed out about that. I'm like, that's a really hard thing for God to do. And so that was my response when I was trying to do things in my own strength. And so we're there and we quick go to the thing and then we quickly applied for one place. And we applied for this place and I did not feel peace. And I just thought, oh. And so it was actually a place that I thought we could get, but it was in my own strength. And so we actually, over the weekend, last weekend, we wrote to them and we said, we'd like to withdraw our application. And that was a sign to say, God, I'm surrendering to do this in my own strength. I'm going to trust you. And so right now, even though I'm still looking for places to live and we still need to move, what's produced out of me is peace, patience. I don't feel a competitive, like, we better get it quick because it's hard and, you know, everyone get out of my way. And so it produces the fruit of the Spirit. Situation's still hard, but I'm sending out my roots. I'm putting my trust in God. So hopefully that's a helpful example of seeing how the fruit that we produce can be seen. And so what is the fruit in our lives for? Well, we live in a very broken world. We are not the only ones who struggle. What a beautiful video that was of Alpha, where we got to see a glimpse of people going through life without Jesus. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have open access to God. But the majority of these people have not been planted by their Creator next to a life-giving stream. They don't have the Holy Spirit to help them. Our fruit is visible and it's able to be offered to those who are in need. The last verse I just want to share. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. At our vision worship night, Kate came up and with tears shared this verse. That was what she was feeling for our church, to be a place where people could taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is the purpose of us being fruitful. It's not a thing that is for our glory. It's by the grace of God when we can produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And people notice, because when there is drought and hard situations around you, and when you feel peaceful, when you are loving when you shouldn't be, when you are patient and kind, people notice. And that is their chance to taste and see that the Lord is good, that they're able to taste what God has done in you and experience it for themselves. The fruit in our lives is a testimony to the faithfulness of God and his supernatural ability to produce good fruit. It's only by the grace of God. So I want you to imagine this tree, which thank you so very much. In the heat of the day, I want you to imagine you being a tree where others can find refuge when it's hot, when life is hard, and that they are able to taste and see that the Lord is good and to find refuge in him. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that great is your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We thank you that we got to access them an hour earlier this morning. And Lord, we ask that right now, as we come and are in this place, Lord, that we would send out our roots to the life-giving source, Lord, that you are. That we would send out our roots to you, that we would find the nourishment, the healing, the comfort that you provide. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you know us so intimately. We thank you that you are good. Lord, I pray that right now as we come to a time of worship, as we focus our eyes on you, as we send out our roots by the stream, as we take part in communion, Lord, give us today our daily bread. We put our trust in you. Put on our hearts, Lord, anyone that we might have to invite to Alpha, that they too might taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.